This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Second hour of four, just getting started. Much appreciate you listening, as always. Got a great prize that could be yours today. Later in the show, we're giving away a copy of the Fight Finished official World Series Championship commemorative book, so you got to be listening. But speaking of the Nats who finished the fight and won the World Series, they have a slew of soon-to-be free agents, players with expiring contracts who could leave the organization. You and I wanted to go one by one through the list of players right now to determine who we would bring back and who we wouldn't, but then also make a prediction on whether the team will bring the player back or whether they won't.
A couple of things of note. They declined a couple options, and these guys will be free agents here. They also have yet to decline or pick up certain options. We're anticipating guys like Adam Eaton, Sean Doolittle will have their options picked up. So they won't be included on this list, but they technically could be eligible for something like this. Anibal Sanchez as well, I think, has a 2020 option that I'm cannot imagine they wouldn't pick up.
Right. Yeah, but by now, I think we know the guys whose options they're not picking up. They picked up Doolittle's, to your point. So let's get into the names on this list as they are currently constructed of the guys who are set for free agency. The first of them, and we'll just go in the order of their 2019 salaries, so mm-hmm. The guys that made the most money last year. Number one is Steven Strasburg. His 2019 salary, and this is a little bit odd because of the backloaded pay and the weird things, but is listed as basically having been $39 million.
Right. It's one of those weird accounting things that I'll never understand. Even though this is deferred money, he didn't make that in cash, but that's what it cost the Nationals this year.
Right.
He and Max are both right around $40
million. Strasburg, the answer for me, would I bring him back or not, is an easy yes.
This is the stamp of yes for they. I would and they will.
Now, the next one is, will the team, and you've already said yes.
I think they will.
I think they will successfully try to bring him back, and he will be a National. I don't think it's a slam dunk, and I don't think it's nearly as foregone a conclusion as everybody's making it out to be. Just in talking to Nats fans the last few days, the dialogue is basically, I know we'll get Strauss back, but what about Rendon? I want to walk that back just a little bit and say, are they going to get Strauss back? Question mark. Are they going to get Rendon back? Really good chance they get Strauss back. But there's probably a 40 or so percent chance, 35% chance that they don't also.
You know how I feel about that? Is the same way that folks, I felt when, well, we're not going to sign Bryce Harper, but we'll sign Rendon. And I went, whoa, not so fast. Let's all remember
there's
a great chance that may not happen. And that's kind of where we are now.
It's clear, though, that they build through pitching. It is very obvious that they think that starting pitching and paying for arms that give you a couple hundred innings is the way to do it, more so than paying for the bats.
Good relationship there.
And it worked for them to win this World Series. So I do think they'll pay him. I think he'll be here. So we're both going yes on both accounts.
Double yes, yes.
Anthony Rendon is next. He made $18.8 million this past year. He's due to make over $30 million this coming year. My answer to Anthony Rendon is an obvious yes. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it is a necessity. I think they have to do it from both a baseball and a business standpoint. That's me. What about you? Would you bring Rendon back?
Without a doubt. I would. I don't care what it costs. I would win the bidding. I'm not letting someone else come in and take him. That's how I feel about it. I feel this one's too important.
And you'll eat the last couple of years of this deal if it's bad for the next three or four having a chance to win another World Series.
I'll even do it knowing it's probably going to be a bad deal for the team.
Well, they have to. I mean, if you're signed to a seven-year deal, you go in knowing that, I would say. The second part of the exercise is, will the Nationals retain Anthony Rendon? And I say no.
I say no. I think they just will never get to the point that it needs to get to. I think they missed the boat, and I think they'll do another thing where they hand him a nice offer that has a bunch of deferred money. And
I'll bet you they offer him in the end 230 or 235 with deferments. And he gets Maybe it's as low as 235 without, but I'll bet you it's going to be closer to the 250 to go elsewhere.
I think he's knocking on the door at 250. I think that's what it ends up being.
So we both have Strauss back, Rendon gone from a national standpoint. Mm-hmm. All right, next up is Ryan Zimmerman. Zimmerman made $18 million this past year at first base, 35 years old, so he's 5 years older than Rendon, 4 years older than Strasburg. He had just 6 home runs and 44 hits during the regular season, but man, was he huge in the playoffs when he was healthy. And give him credit. They basically did what they had to do to wait him out to get him ready for October, and then you tip your cap to him. He fought his way into the lineup when he was supposed to be a bench player, starting with that jam shot in the rally against the Brewers.
That's right.
Big home run early in the division series against the Dodgers. They declined the option on Zimmerman, which was the ultimate no-brainer.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Because he's not a $20 million or close to it, $15 million guy anymore. I would bring Zim back. It seems to me like what he said to us on this show, what he's told everyone who will listen, is he wants to keep playing. He wants to be a national. It's not going to take a ton of money. Now, when he says ton of money and when I say ton of money, they're two very different things. His house in McLean, I've never been there, is probably a lot nicer than my townhouse in Alexandria.
With all due respect to your house, yes, it is.
When he says something along the lines of, it's not going to take a lot of money for a guy who's made a couple hundred million bucks, what is not a lot of money? But I would offer Ryan Zimmerman $3 or $4 million for next year. I think that's fair.
I do too.
Would he take that? I think he would.
He might, yeah. So I'm doing that as well. To me, you could do a lot worse. And I know it's, if you want him to play every day, I think you're going to end up being disappointed. You could do, as I'm going to keep saying, you could do way worse than kind of cobbling together a first base position with 80 games of Zim and 80 games of somebody else. Now, is it a star? Is it, you know, a $180 million player that's going to put up those numbers by himself? No, it's not. But in terms of saving money somewhere where you've got huge investments in other spots, a.k.a. a Strasburg, a Scherzer, a Corbin, you know, eventually Trey Turner, eventually Soto, et cetera, you could do way worse than that.
I think you're going to platoon at first base largely anyway. Zim
against him back
a bunch of lefties.
Bring him back at $4 million bucks and playing him 3 days a week.
100%. And by the way, then when you go get your lefty bat,
yep,
we'll get to Matt Adams later on this list, but either an Adams or somebody like him, you could give that guy $4 million.
Exactly.
$3 million, and you have a first base where you might get a combined 34, 33 home runs for $7, $8 million potentially, assuming, of course, that they use the same baseballs.
and
you get some production from whoever that left-handed bat is. But otherwise, maybe the home run totals come down, but then if that happens all over the sport, that's okay too. But I digress. So we're both saying we would bring Zim back, and we think the Nats will bring him back.
Yes.
So right now we are through three players. Strasburg returns. Rendon does not. Zimmerman does, based on what the Nationals are going to do. Next is Brian Dozier, who's interesting. Dozier signed a one-year, $9 million deal. We had him on during a pregame show in the playoffs, and I asked him about his future and the idea that he'd basically become content to just sit on the bench, even though he might be better than that at this point of his career. Because he's not young. He's 33 years old, but he's got some baseball left. And he made it sound like he said, listen, I want to win a championship, whatever it takes. I'm here to win a title. If that means being a cheerleader right now and having some late inning at bats or off the bench, getting some infield opportunities and some putaways from second base.
Yeah, that's why he signed here.
Awesome, right? He was happy doing that. But he also said, I think I can start. You saw that I hit 20 home runs this year in limited playing time. I think I could still hit 30 or more. I'd like to play every day. My guess is he'll leave and go get paid elsewhere. Because the Nats have no answer right now at second, potentially no answer at third, and possibly need help at first base, you're talking about three of your four infield spots that are up in the air.
Yeah,
I think there is a real chance that they could bring Dozier back. I would be surprised. So I'll say, no, I'm not bringing Dozier back, and no, I don't think they will.
I think no on both of those as well. We agree. I like Dozier fine. I don't know that I want to do $9 or $10 million or $11 million, which is what it might take for that spot that ultimately is going to go to Carter Kieboom if I have my druthers.
See, do you think after this year where he didn't play every day and he lost his job to Asdrubal Cabrera at the end of the season, you think he'd be back in the $9 million mix?
I do. Just because the pop and people saw how good a teammate he was and they saw how everybody responded to him. I think he's going to be one of those guys, hey, we need that ingredient. You know what I mean? Like, I can't exactly tell you the team, but somebody that's on the cusp is going to want a Brian Dozier to play every day. I would bet.
If he makes that much, it'll be on another one-year deal. My guess is he'll want a multi-year deal at 33, and he's going to sign for,
so
like,
think it would bump down a little bit?
2 and 14.
$7 million per.
Maybe,
yeah, I could see that.
2 and 13 and a half, something like that.
But I could see it.
We'll see. Yan Gomes is next up.
Yan Gomes is here.
The 32-year-old catcher. He hit just 223, had a 705 OPS. But here's the interesting part about Yan Gomes. He had the highest OPS among catchers in the last 5 weeks of the year. He was outstanding down the stretch, and he had a really good postseason. So we'll get into Yan Gomes next. If you guys have any thoughts on any of the guys we've talked about so far, and I have to imagine you do, Strasburg, Rendon, Zimmerman, Dozier, give us a shout, 800-636-1067. We'll make our predictions for Gomes, Fernando Rodney, Howie Kendrick, Asdrubal Cabrera, Matt Adams, Daniel Hudson, Gerardo Parra, the Baby Shark, as we continue on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Field straight away, the pitch. Swinging a belt to left center field in the gap. This is way back to the warning track, to the wall, and one hop off the fence. Rounding third is Kendrick. He'll score as Yan Gomes pulls into second base with a two-out double in the gap. Scoring Kendrick with the first run of the game, and the Nationals have the lead here in the second inning of Game 1 of the National League Championship Series. It's the Nationals 1 and the Cardinals nothing on an RBI double for Gomes.
Yan Gomes proved huge in the playoffs, really stepped up big. Kurt Suzuki a couple different times was out with issues and injuries, and Yan Gomes was a steadying influence behind the plate. So Suzuki's under contract. He'll be presumably the guy next year. As a timeshare is going to have to continue, I think, whether it's with Yan Gomes or someone else. So we're going through all the Nationals. We talked Strasburg, Rendon, Zimmerman, Dozier already, about halfway there with some of the key free agents for this team to be. Would we retain them, and then will the team retain them, is the exercise. We are taking your calls, your reactions at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Danny, why don't you start us on Yan Gomes with some analysis?
You'd be surprised, but I'm keeping him. I would bring Yan Gomes back. As bad as he was, especially in the first half where he hit 211, and he set a career high for pass balls before we got to July, he was a disaster for them. And I think ultimately was one of the big reasons why they started off so poorly. I really do. I believe that. But he turned it around. He's never going to be a high batting average guy, but I don't care about that. Calls a good game. He's Patrick Corbin's personal catcher. I think he could expand that role to a couple guys. Good receiver, good catch and throw, good clubhouse guy, good leader. He's a mensch of a dude. 9 second-half homers. Basically ended up, if you take that second half, on pace for a 245, 20-homer bat and a pretty good defensive catcher. I'm not paying him $9 million, which is what his option would have been. I could try to bring him back at 6 or 7. I would absolutely try to do that. He may get offers from other teams, and I'm not going to win a bidding war, but I would try to bring Yan Gomes back. I think they won't, Grant, but I would.
I think that they will. I think Yan Gomes will be back. Yes, we'll have our first disagreement on who's back and who isn't. I think they're going to have the same catching situation. Far from definitive, but I will say the only person I've talked to with any kind of knowledge on the situation about this since the end of the season said that they plan on making a true attempt to get him back. They really loved what they saw in the second half. They like him as a guy. He had 12 homers, and I think could hit 12 to 15 next year. And as you said, he had a nightmare spring, offensively and defensively. He's better than we saw.
Yep.
Now, he is 32 years old, so I think if you bring him back, a two-year deal's at max what you're talking about, and maybe it would be a la what you signed Suzuki to, a couple years older than Gomes,
uh-huh,
last year when he got 2 and 10. I might even offer, you know, 2-9, 2-8, something like that. Maybe he could do better elsewhere. He might be able to sign. I'm sure he could go somewhere and sign a one-year, $7 million contract to be a more regularly used catcher. But do you want to be here or you don't? I think they will keep Yan Gomes. I would keep Yan Gomes. I'm going yes and yes.
There you go.
Next on the list, this one should be short and easy. I'll let you go first so that maybe I don't have to talk about him as much. Fernando Rodney.
No. I'd like to never see him again.
Fernando Rodney made $5.2 million last year, pitched in 47 innings to a 5.5 ERA this season.
Nope. He should not be back. They need to do better. And great career. Honestly, he's done a lot. Didn't do that much here, but for whatever reason, people wanted to like him, maybe because we didn't. That's all well and good. Do better than that.
Yeah, he'll be 43 next year. No, thank you. We could do better. All right, let's spend a little more time on the next one then. Mm-hmm. Your NLCS MVP and your game-winning home run in Game 7 of the World Series provided by Howie Kendrick. Kendrick had 115 hits, hit .344, had a .967 OPS, a career year for Howie, $5 million salary this past year.
A bargain.
This one's tough for me, right? Because this will be his age 36 season. We all love what he provided. It's really easy to like Howie Kendrick with that big smile and that great swing and that professional approach. Howie Kendrick at this point to me should be DHing in the American League. I think to keep him, and there were a couple Capitals I said this about after the Cup run, you would be paying him for what he just accomplished.
Yep.
You would be paying him for the NLCS and the World Series. And I'd just like to hug him and thank him and let someone else pay him for that.
And if he comes back, let's put a montage up and give him the ovation of a lifetime.
So I'm going, I think people will be surprised and they'll certainly be upset. I'm going, no, I would not bring him back. And no, I don't think the Nationals will bring him back. I feel more strongly, by the way, about them not bringing him back than even that I wouldn't.
Mm.
I'll be very surprised if they re-sign Howie Kendrick. I think it would be a mistake when he's got to play in the field going into being 36 years old. I also think it's going to be super difficult for him to have the year he had this past season. Just forget, you know, all the other things in the playoffs. To repeat 17 bombs and a .967 OPS and a .344 average with the same amount of playing time, I think would be almost impossible. So I say no and no.
People are going to be very angry at this. My answer is no and no as well. And it's not because I don't want Howie Kendrick back. I would love to have Howie Kendrick come back. I'd love to do, let's give you a pay raise. Let's give you $7 million and you'll play kind of the same, you know, two-thirds of the games and hit and be a great dude and take pictures of young players as they get interviewed for the first time in spring training. I just don't think it's realistic. I don't think you can win a bidding war for Howie Kendrick because some American League team, if they're in the right mind, is going to pay him twice what he earned last year to DH for them for 120 games, and they should. Because I think that guy can hit. I think that guy can still hit into his upper 30s. I really do. But here, where you have to play defense in this old National League, like if the National League comes out tomorrow and says, hey, we're changing to the DH, the pitchers don't have to hit, sprint to the phone to call Howie Kendrick. Get there so quick, and that's your solution. But I don't think you can win a bidding war. I don't think they will.
Next up is Drubal Cabrera. There was probably not a National this year I was more wrong about. When he came, I hoped he didn't play very much. I thought he was kind of a bench scrub. He ended up driving in over 90 runs this season. 18 homers, 91 batted in.
Not amazing.
Not all with the Nats. It's absolutely ridiculous. Hit .260 for the year with a .783 OPS, but with the Nationals, he hit over .300, and he drove in more batters, more runners, I should say, 40, than he played in games 38. He was incredible. This might surprise you, too. I'm bringing Drubal Cabrera back, for sure. You have to figure out second base. He can play second base. Third base, he could play third base. And first base, which I think he could play as well. Now,
in a pinch, he could play shortstop. In a pinch.
In a pinch, but you don't have to figure that out.
You don't want to do that.
That's why I didn't list it, because Trey Turner's there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you have three spots that you might need answers at, is my point. As Drubal Cabrera should not be a starter, necessarily, for 162 games at any of them. But if you're waiting on Carter Kieboom at second for 40 games, he's a good option. If you're waiting for Carter Kieboom at third for 40 games, he's an okay option there.
Dude.
So I'm bringing Drubal Cabrera back. I think the Nationals will as well. In fact, I know they're going to try to. They really, really liked what he provided. So I'll go yes and yes.
I thought this was going to be my hipster take. I thought this was going to be the one where we would disagree and you wouldn't be able to believe that I felt this way. I'm absolutely bringing that guy back from most of the reasons you mentioned. He can play in a pinch four, but really three infield spots. And he'll give you a decent at bat. He's a winning player. I would absolutely try to bring that guy back, and I think they will.
Matt Adams, real quick.
No. I would love to bring Matt Adams back, but I don't think
You're not bringing him back, and they're not?
I wouldn't. I don't think they will either. I think he wasn't thrilled with how things went towards the end of the season.
I'll say they do, and I would not. I think you could probably find a lefty to give you what he gives you for a little bit cheaper than $4 or $5 million or
find
whatever.
Find a Mitch Moreland, a Justin Smoke, a Justin
Bohr.
Who's
better defensively, by the way.
Yeah.
Now you could find a guy with some power who's better defensively at a similar rate. Last one, let's go Daniel Hudson. Daniel Hudson's interesting because he was brilliant for them down the stretch. He's going to be 33, but he's had two TJs, and he's probably going to make, he made about $1.5 million last year. I would guess he'll make $6 million a year, maybe $7 million a year this coming year. So you're paying him like 2-12, 2-14, something like that. I think that's a pretty big overpay and a risk for a guy with his arm history. So if it takes that, I'll say no, and I'll say they won't. However, if I'm off on the numbers, I'm kind of making those up.
Yeah.
The numbers are closer to, say, 2 years and $9 million or 2 years and $8 million, then I would definitely do that.
If it's a competitive market, I can't win the bidding for a guy, despite the fact that he's a hero. So my guess is similar to yours, by the way, in terms of what he might earn. So I would say no to that, and then that they won't. But if it's people look at that same history and go, yeah, that was a flash in the pan. He'll be 34 with two TJs who got cut twice out of spring training. Well, let's have an offer more commiserate with that. Then I would say yes.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the exercise, even though we'd like to keep the whole band together for another year.
You brought me so much joy. Thank you.
Next, you'll be surprised what Mitch Trubisky wants done so that he and his teammates can feel better about themselves at the Bears practice facility. You are listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Double play, 10 minutes out. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Beltway Blitz at noon. Looking forward to talking Dwayne Haskins, taking the pulse of the people at 12:18. If they're picking in the top three this spring, should the Redskins be able to have the quarterback position in play after 1 year and basically only a half season of allowing Haskins to play, yes or no? We'll get into that. We'll get your take coming up in less than an hour right here on The Fan. But couple things real quick to get to out of the NFL. The first is, and you don't care about this, and probably no one listening does, but this is just stunning. I had the worst week I've ever had in my life picking football games this past week in the NFL. The worst I've ever had. Of the 14 games, picking all of them, one ended up being a push because the line I got on Seattle and Tampa Bay in Seattle was 6 points for the Hawks. And I ended up, I took Seattle minus six, and that game was 40-34. So I don't get a win or a loss for
that.
You
get nothing for that, yeah.
But for the 13 games that are either right or wrong, I went 3-10 against the spread this past week in the NFL. That is terrible for someone who
thinks for anybody.
They follow the league pretty closely.
It's bad for anybody. Nobody's good in that way. Again, it's why I don't gamble. Other people do, and that's good. Bully for you. Tell me more about your bad beats. It's not a bad beat. It's just what happens. It's why those buildings are really nice and shiny and tall in all the places where they do this. So you're not smarter than the industry. You're not smarter than them. They do this professionally. You do it as a hobby. I'm not texting any bookies. I'm not going down that road. But some people love it, and they love the juice, and that's all well and good.
If you name a game, there's a really good chance I got that game wrong.
10 out of 13 chance, right?
It's just so bad. One of the three games I got right was the Redskins and the Bills.
Got that one.
Yeah, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that there was no way the Redskins would lose by less than 9.5. I was very positive the Bills were going to win that game by 10 or more, and they ended up winning by 15. If you take the team that I quote-unquote cover out of the equation, I got 10 of 12 games wrong.
Ooh.
Just so embarrassing.
The team that I would never get right is the Redskins. Like if I'm doing this against the spread.
No, because you'd be surprised. You have a pretty good feel on them week to week. Like you went into the Bills game knowing Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback.
Well, that one I knew they're going to lose by double digits.
They're not going to move the ball. The Bills will suffocate them. There's just no way they can score. 9.5 feels like it's not big enough. It's a pretty easy pick, I thought.
I guess what I would say is in normal years when I end up picking against them every week because I always feel like they're about to lose and lose catastrophically, and they always seem to be slightly better than that, but they still find a way to lose, if that makes sense. Like, I would have picked the Dolphins to cover, and I'm sure they covered against the Redskins, only losing by a point, right? Redskins weren't – it wasn't a pick 'em there.
No, you're right. Yeah, I'm not saying I would have a great record with them all year long, but I think there's just certain weeks where you're very confident. You go, okay, this is bad. This is going to be ugly. Like, I thought the Bears week, that was a really easy game to pick when they were playing Chicago at home.
And was that in primetime?
It was. Against that defense.
What a tough pick that is.
Bet you it's going to be a lopsided
loss. That's a fish in a barrel. You know, you need to listen to Dukes. Apparently, he's been picking games like a juggernaut.
Apparently. He got into the game late, and he can't lose.
Didn't he have, I think, what, Brock, do you remember what it was? It was like a 25-1 stretch or something like that he was talking about.
I need some read receipts on that from Dukes.
He called the junkies and said that he went 25-1.
I'm not doubting him. I want some read receipts, though. That's a pretty there's a lot of guys in Vegas doing this for a living that have never gone 25-1.
I mean, he needs to set up a website if that's true.
Dukes needs to be the next Pharrell where he's, I'm Chad Dukes. Here's my lines for this week. I'm going to get you pour a shot. I got 16 points for the Bears this weekend. If he's going 25-1, he's got another profession.
Seriously.
But your boy is, I mean, I'm not good at it.
I'm not going 25-1. I know I'm not good.
Speaking of not good, Mitch Trubisky.
Terrible.
So this story is from ESPN.com's Jeff Dickerson. Bears quarterback Mitch Trubisky wants televisions turned off inside Halas Hall, that's their Redskins bar, to insulate the struggling team from outside criticism. Quote, trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you've got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are, and what we're not, Trubisky said before Wednesday's practice. But they don't really know who we are. They don't know what we're capable of as people or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. So tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing. Trubisky's 25. He's having a terrible third season after a disappointing first two seasons. He was the number two overall pick in 2017, and the best part about that was that the Bears traded up from number three to get him.
When they didn't have to.
Even though the team at number two is not going to take him, which is my favorite thing ever. He is not even on pace to throw for 2,500 yards or double-digit touchdowns.
Bears fans got all up in my mentions when I said, I can't remember what week it was, where I said, you guys, from D.C., I know what bad quarterbacking looks like. Mitch Trubisky is a bad quarterback. We're going to have to deal with this. We're going to have to move around it, move through it, do something. We got to acknowledge this. Bears fans, they're going to smash the Redskins in a couple weeks. I said, you're right. That doesn't change the fact that the guy stinks.
Seven starts, 1,200 yards, five touchdowns, three picks, 31st in the league in QBR in almost every other category. Oh, by the way. Now, inherently, I don't have a huge problem with him wanting to drown out the noise. I mean, it'd be hypocritical of me saying, making fun of him, that he wants to turn off all the TVs, and then I mute everyone on Twitter who says something mean about me.
I know.
I just don't want people negative influence in my life while I'm trying to go about living. I'm just going to go live my life.
Carry on living my life.
But I will say that if you're an NFL quarterback, it's a little bit different. You got to deal with it. I've talked to Cousins about this in the past where I'm going, I don't know how you do this. And he's like, you can't let it bother you. You can't really pay attention.
Easy to say.
You know, very easy to say. But the ones that have success in this league generally do that. I mean, you think Aaron Rodgers cares that much what they're saying about him on ESPN? You think he's walking around after a bad game, start of the season through 2 weeks?
Like Stephen A. said, what?
Turning off TVs. That tells you a lot about Trubisky. There's also long been rumors.
Rabbit ears, man.
Our buddy Rich Campbell actually came on and said this before the Monday night game, that basically in the building they've always said he cares too much about the outside perception.
Well, remember that, was it the week two or whatever it was, press conference, when he said, I'm actually not allowed to answer questions about last week.
Right.
You're not allowed to. What is this, Russia?
Well,
what are you talking about not allowed to?
Yeah. He over-worries about things. So I would say this goes in that category.
What's the word? It's troubling? It is. It's troubling.
Year three for him.
That guy stinks.
Now, we've talked about this a lot with whether it's Haskins or anybody else, but when you don't see it, when someone's not passing the eye test, you got to give them time. How much time? The Bears have basically ruined a really good two-year team with this quarterback situation now, trying to make fetch happen.
They're the NFC North's Broncos.
The Redskins aren't that. You know, they don't have the defense. So right. It's not as much of a situation of peril, but just know the Bears with a good quarterback the last couple years should have been messing around in the NFC Championship game. Instead, they might not make the playoffs this year.
They got some worthwhile pieces too on offense. It's not great. It's not a juggernaut by any stretch, but
doesn't need to be
behind.
Their defense is one of the best in football, if not the best,
Cohen,
the last 2 years.
Montgomery, Robinson, Burton, who's always hurt, but they've got pieces that you'd go, that's a nice makings of an okay offense. That defense, oh my God. If you were just serviceable on offense, That's 11, 12 wins. That's NFC title game caliber team. And they're not because of how terrible that guy is. He's so bad.
Next, our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. It's a little recap of what's going on in our lives. Nothing to do with sports. Your boy went to the doctor yesterday.
Yay!
So a couple of things here. I don't think it's a HIPAA violation if I talk about myself, right?
You can do whatever you want. It's your information. They just can't do it.
But if I talk about my own doctor's appointments, that's perfectly fine?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll do that. So, a couple things. Number one, is it normal that I have to go to the doctor every 3 months to get my anxiety medication re-upped? Because my whole thing is I would like to just call my doctor after 90 days and go, hey, can I get a medication, please? And they just don't want to do that. So I went to the doctor yesterday, like a week late because I've been traveling around.
Sure, living your life.
And I said, hey, man, is there a way we could just do this without me coming in here? And he goes, no, this is standard procedure. Everyone I ask who either has a similar medication or who has a medication they take says, oh, no, I just called my doctor. I go to the doctor every 6 months or every 9 months or whatever. He's like, no, most people they want to see every 3 months. That's the whole point. Like your body can change. You buying or selling that?
I've sold it. We talked about it privately for a few moments, and we'll talk about it now in front of the hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, that are listening
right.
With bated breath here. So give you just a parallel example. It's not exactly the same. It's a specialist. But when I went to have the stuff on my nose done, right, the Capital Breathe Free specialist. So I go, hey, I've got this ear infection. So I went in, got examined, had an ear infection. It sucked. It was awful. It was just a miserable experience. Nobody cares.
Yes.
But I did it. I got a prescription. It didn't work, which happens. So we try something else. I didn't have to go back in to get a new prescription. As the prescription that I finally, we settled on that it started to work and actually do some assistance
did
to this
something.
Ridiculous ear, I needed a refill. All it took was an email, a quick follow-up phone call, not a trip to a parking garage, downtown,
so at
appointment, whatever.
At these appointments, when I go back every 3 months, this is kind of how it goes. How you doing? I'm great. How are you? Good. Have you had any panic attacks? I have not. All right, cool. We'll get you another prescription. We can't do that over the phone somehow.
And I understand you can't just do this forever without being seen again. Nobody's asking for that.
I'm not.
But what I would say is, could we do it once every 6 months? Could we do it once a year? Or could
right.
we do it once every 9 months? Whatever the interval is, more, less frequent visits are good because there are going to be times based on, as I understand, I don't want to get into your business, but as I understand it, you're supposed to take this thing, whatever it is, every day.
Correct.
There are necessarily going to be times where you're not taking it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because you can't get an appointment. How is that right?
Well, if that's on me for not getting the appointment,
but
if that's
not,
the case.
But it.
But yes, theoretically, like I didn't have medicine the last several days just because I needed to go to the doctor.
Yeah, you're not a professional doctor attender. Like,
right.
You have a life.
There. It's a very weird thing. The only other thing I'll bring up from this appointment, and by the way, another weird thing is, every time I go in, I do like this fast all day bit, take blood, do tests, whatever.
Oh, yeah, it stinks.
Not fun, right? Most people hate giving blood. I don't mind it at all. Where are you at on that spectrum? Like, when he says, like, all right, hold this ball, I'm gonna take blood, whatever. Like, not for 1 second do I care at all. Are you on that train, or are you one of those people that dreads giving blood?
I hate it so much.
Like, I'll go as often as I can to give blood at these drives. I don't mind it at all.
This is not a good quality that I have about me. I've never given in a blood drive because I can't stand that whole process. You're taking the essence of me out of me. You're first of all using a needle, which can stop. I want no puncturing. The reason I'm so afraid of snakes is because of the puncturing. The puncturing and the venom. I can't handle the puncturing. I can't handle my skin penetrated. That's the first thing. The second thing is you're stealing my life essence from me. And it's painful. It's uncomfortable. I never feel good after. When I had to do it freshman year for my physical, so you can be insured by the NCAA, I passed out from the experience. I hate it. I hate it.
Interesting. All right. I would have thought you were with me on that. And then here's my last thing. We've lost a ton of weight, you and I, with the MP180. Somehow my cholesterol is worse right now than when. Aren't you supposed to be, like, isn't there a direct correlation between weight and cholesterol? Apparently, when I showed up for the first time at the doctor, we looked it up. My cholesterol was silly, okay?
Okay.
Just a big fat guy eating fast food twice a day,
mm-hmm.
headed toward 300 pounds. It was like 280 pounds, whatever. I've lost 100 plus pounds. And at this point, I'm way, way, way down below where I was. Somehow my cholesterol is worse. Isn't there supposed to be a direct correlation between weight and cholesterol?
It is, as I have always understood it, and now I'm so out of school here, because Dr. Huhang over here really, really knows this stuff. I always thought there was a correlation, but not necessarily one-to-one. In other words, you could lose a bunch of weight doing Atkins, right? Where you eat nothing but like meat and cheese and meat and cheese, and it could be salty and saturated and all these things that aren't great for you.
Yeah.
But it's better than eating carbs and sugar.
But my diet now pummels my diet back then.
It does, but maybe that's the side effect. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I feel like
I pretty much live a paleo lifestyle.
So let's just say, sake of argument, if you're a great big fat dude, like the guy that I sat next to on the flight from Houston to Charlotte when we had to connect, and it was the most miserable flight of my life, basically turned sideways because I couldn't get in. He should have had to buy two seats. Sorry, that's who you are, but you should have to buy two seats. Sorry about that. I bet you that guy's cholesterol is not great. Right? I bet you it's not.
Can't be.
But I also know a dude who is 165 pounds, that he was 165 pounds in high school, college, was a D1 athlete, stud. His cholesterol was off the charts because he ate terribly.
He was tiny?
And he's tiny. And he's a skinny little dude now.
So there are thin people with high cholesterol?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
And that's one of those things that's.
So cholesterol, to me, the heavier you are, the higher your cholesterol should be. That's not right.
You can raise your cholesterol level by being a great big fatty. But you can also be a dude that's skinny as a rail, like my buddy is. He's shredded. He should be in a magazine. And he's got the cholesterol of a morbidly obese dude.
Wow. And that could be hereditary, probably.
Yeah, that's one of those hereditary things. He also had a terrible diet. Terrible
really?
Diet.
But he's tiny.
But he's a skinny little dude.
Wow. Good for that guy.
Yeah, I know. It's super annoying. Like, I got down to my lowest, and I was so happy, and I was still 40 pounds heavier than that guy. 40 pounds.
That's crazy.
She's like, I'm sure life's fair.
By the way, going to the doctor. Anytime you want to give me a little good news would be nice.
You know what else is bad?
I'll just keep waiting.
I'll call you with your test results. Leave that voicemail. Beep. Hi, Grant, it's your doctor.
Just be sitting here waiting.
Oh, my God.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is the Fan. The Beltway Blitz is next.
No offseason. Not at the St. James. DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James Sports Utopia. There is something for everyone there. You got to see it and check it out for yourself. It's got its own weather system. That's not really true, but the point is it's huge. It's massive. Anything under the sun you want to do, you can do there. Complex houses, multiple state-of-the-art indoor venues, two regulation-sized ice rinks, a turf field house, a gymnastics center, even an Olympic-sized pool. They offer training and instruction in competitive leagues and teams for more than 20 sports. You got a newbie in the family? You want to learn how to do something? They got that. You want advanced instruction? You want high-level, maybe college scholarship type stuff? They got that too. It's all there under the sun. Kids can also play in the Active Entertainment Center, climbing and bouldering walls, trampolines, VR games, a ropes course, and a massive water park. All perfect for the event, birthday party, whatever you got. They got it there at the St. James. You got to check this place out. And that Premium Health Club, probably like the main centerpiece, offers top-of-the-line equipment, weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve your body goals. In fact, every new member gets two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. Not bad, right? With so much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Visit stjames.com to learn more and schedule a tour. That's the stjames.com. St. James, look to your best.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.